Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I have been your pastor now for 10 months. I know for some of you it feels like 10 years, right? Whenever I step into a church, whether I'm visiting or whether it's a church that I've been called to serve, one of the things that I try to do is to sense who the people are and where is it that God is leading them. This past week, I received a telephone call from a council president from a parish in another district, not to call me to be the pastor. He was calling for some advice. He was in tears, almost sobbing. Their congregation now numbers only a few, about 4 to 6 people on a Sunday morning. Their building is crumbling. Their organist has resigned. They have to sing a cappella now, and they're not very good a cappella singers. And to top it all off, the furnace on one side of the church now has a leak, and it's so old they can't find anybody to repair it. And the furnace on the other side of the church isn't working at all. And this past week, the basement flooded, and there's mold everywhere. They barely have enough funds to make it through the end of the year, and that's without any of the other problems that the building has laid upon them. Now, one of the reasons that they called me was because just 3 years ago, the synod and the district in which they are a part invested $200,000. And the reason that they gave them that money was to give them space to dream about their future. But instead of dreaming, they feared. Instead of mission, there was nothing but bickering. And instead of asking, where is it that God is calling us? They only kept asking the same question that they had always been asking. What happens when the money runs out? That story is a sobering reminder, brothers and sisters. Congregations change only when the individuals in the congregations change. When each one of us asks, what kind of future does God call me to prepare for? Now let me pause here. This message is not intended for us to think about the future of St. Matthew Lutheran Church, although that may happen. This message is a call for all of us. It is, if you will, a checkup. It's actually sheets of paper in your pew that I would encourage you to take home, which will hopefully remind you of not only the context of this message, but also some reflection on your part. Because what I'm mainly interested in as your pastor is what is God calling each of you to do and to be in your vocations and the places God has placed you. But we cannot even discern the future of a church until we have discerned the future of our own hearts. I hope you can hear me when I say that. This is not a call for a corporate transformation, necessarily. It's a checkup. A checkup of our own hearts. Me included. Our Old Testament lesson today gives us David's example. Now, if you were in Bible study, we got poured into all of the context and the background, which you'll have to just sort of catch up if you weren't at Bible study this morning, but short version, David has been anointed king. The problem is that there's still a king on the throne. His name is Saul. And Saul is so angry at King David that he is willing to burn down the entire nation just so he can destroy David. His jealousy rages to the point of not only his own destruction, but the destruction of the nation of Israel. He could care less. David knew he had been called to be the king. He had been anointed for this task. And if any of us had been called to that, being told that we were now the monarch, yet dealing with the attacks, the jealousy, the efforts to slaughter, to kill, as well as the responsibility to defend the nation without any appreciation, we would have despaired. God, you said you had called me to this great thing, but I have had nothing but problem after problem. David could have despaired. But instead, in the midst of every sign that said this isn't going to work, David trusted God. He admitted his sins. We heard that in the psalm today. He confessed that the cleanness of his hands were not because he was necessarily innocent, but because he relied on God's mercy. In short, David was looking forward. David was praising God for a future that he could not even see yet. In our gospel lesson, Jesus tells the parable of an unjust steward. This steward, though dishonest, was shrewd. And Jesus compliments his shrewdness, not his dishonesty. Jesus doesn't commend lying and cheating, but what Jesus points to is this man's foresight, that even a child of the devil, even a child of the flesh, even a child of the world has the ability to look forward. And yet the children of the light seem to be stuck in the moment. And in this parable, Jesus calls all of us, his disciples, any who might hear, to something far greater. To prepare ourselves, not just for a temporary, temporal survival, but toward eternal life. Jesus says, if you're faithful in a little, you'll be faithful in much. He calls us to use worldly resources wisely, not for self-preservation, but for the sake of the gospel. He calls us to invest in what endures forever. Brothers and sisters, you do not drift into faithfulness. You drift into faithlessness. Okay? You don't just bebop along, not paying attention to anything, and someday wake up a spiritual giant full of wisdom. You have to prepare for that. Our calling is to invest in what lasts. And what lasts? The Word of God. The gifts of Jesus Christ in His sacraments. Prayer. Catechesis, worship, our vocations lived out in Christ. When my confirmation classes grumble with me that I ask them to memorize the entirety of the small catechism, I share with them, someday you may be arrested, imprisoned, solitary confinement. No Bible, no devotionals, and all you will be able to take with you is what is up here. Many scoff, that'll never happen. And yet for many around the world, it does. When we hear the Word of God calling us to prepare for the future of our own lives, Let's just be pragmatic for a moment. What is it that you're dreaming about in your vocation as a husband? You might not even be married yet. What is it that you're dreaming about in your vocation as a wife or a mother or a father? What is it that you're dreaming about in your vocation as an employer, a business owner, an employee? What is it that you're dreaming about in your life that God would use you for His glory. Some don't want that. I get it. Some just want to be left alone, to keep strolling, get their pizza, go to bed, make sure the air conditioning works. But others, and I pray all of you, want God to use you fully for the sake of eternity. This often involves risk. Anything that's great involves risk. And it always involves bearing the cross. Think for a moment the great men and women of history that you remember, that have been immortalized in song or in literature. In every single case, the reason we remember them is because in the midst of trial and temptation and persecution, they continued on. To do great things, we are often called to suffer great things. But it is the way that God shapes His people. It's the way that God makes His people, me and you, mission-minded. It's the way God keeps us focused on the cross, as you sung in that first hymn today. Hands empty, returning time and time again to the cross. Men, women, children, all of you, who don't just reserve the gospel for Sunday morning on the Sundays that you come, but weave the gospel into your daily life, and in so doing, invite others into Christ's church. Not the physical bricks and mortar, but the eternal church. And yet at the same time, as your pastor, I have dreams for St. Matthew. I have dreams for Christ Community Lutheran School. I have dreams for Circuit 3 of the North Wisconsin District. I have dreams for the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I have dreams for the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Some of them are probably dreams that you could sign on to. Others, you're not quite sure. I dream about a church where children are learning the faith, where the sound of their voices echo down our halls. I dream about a church where seniors serve by teaching and reading to the young. I dream about families living out their vocations in humility. I dream about a people that's rooted in the cross and not in flashy programs, but in authentic, real muck and mire and dirt of life that all of us know is real. I even dream of a congregation that may suffer, yet endures with hope. Because I know and I dream that all of us are looking forward to the day of the Lord. And I know, as I was told by an old pastor early after my ordination, Ike, you'll never be able to expect from your people what you aren't willing to do yourself. If you want to be an effective spiritual leader, work on your own heart first. And for 30 years I've wrestled. I've made a lot of mistakes. Done some things that I shouldn't have. Said some things that my wife said, "Don't say that." I've made mistakes in my marriage. Not any bad ones. Don't start the gossip mill. Made mistakes as a father. I made mistakes before I was in ministry. But the beauty of the grace of the cross is the mistakes don't define us. Jesus defines us. We are redeemed children of God. brothers and sisters in Christ. And our future as individuals. You know, I want you to be a good dad, a good mom, a good worker, a good employer, a good citizen. The future of us living into the fullness of that vision that each of you have for your own lives and the vision for this congregation isn't something that just happens randomly. It's prepared by the Spirit, first of all, who works through His Word and His sacraments. It's a checkup. Just a gentle, quite frankly, stewardship sermon. How are we stewarding the gifts God has given us? Am I being faithful in my life? Or am I fearful? Not wanting to go out too far because I might get hurt. Am I being mission-minded? Or am I being short-sighted? Am I struggling with trusting God who's calling me into a battle that the world says is unwinnable? Am I investing in what endures? Am I looking to eternal life? Am I looking to that day of the Lord where Jesus Christ Himself will reign forever and ever? And through the work of my life and through the work of the life of the churches I've served and through the life of the people with whom I have worked and lived and served, thousands upon thousands more will lift their voices too and declare, Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.